1.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
You're a new listener. We like to take things a little bit lighter on Friday as we slide on into the weekend to celebrate our ever-increasing freedoms due to one President Donald J. Trump, 45th President of these United States. And he is fresh off his rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, after he rocked the crowd. The Trump train rolled into Pennsylvania in Wilkes-Barre and just whooped up the crowd, man. Evidently, I have heard that he is planning as many as 6 rallies a week up to the midterms. This guy is tireless. Now, I got to tell you, somebody working this hard and that intensely for such a long period of time, for a man his age, I gotta tell you, it's going to kind of worry me a little bit. Now, I know this is the way Donald Trump has rolled all his life. And according to medical experts, he's already should have had a heart attack or a stroke by now. I know you probably know other people that are not quite as financially successful as Donald Trump that are work just as intensely as he does. It is hard to keep up that pace for an extended period of time, but this guy has been doing it all his life, pretty much, so his adult life. But you could call Donald Trump superhuman, but he's still human, and he is limited by his human constraints. And, I'm sure he's going to pay very close attention to his own health. That I'm not worried about, but it's just his work ethic. Very few people could keep up that kind of a schedule, or I should say schedule. We need to start pronouncing our words properly. It is schedule, or shed. If you're depending on what parts of England you come from, it's either schedule or schedule. Yeah, just pointing that out. Speaking of keeping up and being superhuman, evidently. A real person by the name of Clark Kent, just beat one of Michael Phelps' records, swimming records. And this Clark Kent happens to be a 10-year-old whose real name is Clark Kent Apuada, A-P-U-A-D-A. And he is nicknamed Superman. Now, why his parents named him Clark Kent is beyond me. We can speculate that maybe his dad was a huge fan of the superhero, but that's irrelevant. The kid is absolutely trying to live up to that name, evidently. But anyway, 10-year-old swim the 10-year-old swimming phenom with a superhero name has beat a record that was thought to stand for a lot longer than it did. His name is really Clark Kent Apuada. And, yeah, they've nicknamed him Superman. No, last weekend he competed at the Far West International Championships in California, where he won the 100-meter butterfly in 1 minute 9.38 seconds. Now, that's more than a second faster than the 100-meter butterfly record that Phelps set at the championship back in 1995. So the super swimmer of Mike Phelps has been beaten by... Now, how old was Phelps in 95? He was probably around the same age, right? Because Phelps is not that old. But he set a record back then. And I've seen pictures of Phelps when he was younger. He was slightly above average in his height. So he always had those long arms and legs, and he was very lanky, just like he is now. And it seems like a lot of you would think that smaller people would be faster. But when it comes to swimming and doing things like that, those arms and legs, those long arms and long legs give a great advantage over people with shorter arms and legs for a number of different, water displacement, and propulsion, as well as being able to stretch out and hit that finish line before somebody else. So there's a couple advantages to being tall, or at least having long limbs and being lanky. And this kid doesn't look to be that way. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes in another 5 to 10 years. What he does when he hits the Olympics. Now, I think there's an age limit on the Olympics now. Do I have that right? You have to be he's too young for the Olympics right now. Although it looks like he could compete. But I believe, he had to be at least 15, 16 now? Is that true? Gymnasts seem to, especially female gymnasts, seem to be younger than that. I don't know. And I'll always tell you I don't know something if I don't know it. I don't know. I thought I'd heard that there was an age limit put on Olympic athletes. They raised it or something, and you can't be 13 or 14 anymore. Does anybody know you got to be at least 16, I think? Anyway, he's got a few years to go before he reaches Olympic age, I do believe. And with a name like Clark Kent, there's going to be a lot of high expectations on his part, placed upon him. That's kind of sad to say, but who do you are, Superman? Well, yeah, my name is Clark Kent. Anyway, so we go from somebody who's really, really young, cute kid too, watching the interview of him after this. Just a regular 10-year-old kid. Yeah, and you would be right if you think by the name of Apuada. He does have some Asian in him. I'm guessing it's Hawaiian, Polynesian type of thing. I don't know exactly, but, you look at him and tell. But in any case, cute kid, great personality. He has an opportunity to go a long way, and I hope he isn't ruined by early fame, and I hope his parents don't press him too hard in saying it's for his own future. Remember, you should help your kids realize what kind of future they want. You shouldn't be pushing them towards a future that you want for them. It's their life. And hopefully they're going to be adults far longer than they were children, which means they've got to live with that for the most part of their life. So you can push them and help them in a direction that they want to go, help them realize that. But don't push them in directions so hard in places. And even if they seem to want it, don't push them too hard, because then they're going to end up hating it. And there are a lot of people. The World's Strongest Boy, remember that? Remember that ultra-muscle kid? Oh, God, what was his name? Anyway, he's a stunt actor now for a theme park. And he does not work out nearly the way he used to, and he does not look like anything. And he says he does not want to and wants nothing to do with that type of industry now. Why? Because his father, who he calls a total ass, pushed him too hard and too far and too fast. And he said it was fun at first, And then it just became work. And he didn't like it. And the first chance that he got to get away from his father, he did and didn't go back to that type of lifestyle. So don't push them too hard. And even in places that they seem like they like it first, because they're going to end up hating it. And they might end up hating you. Just saying. And I know there are some parents out there that are hardcore. Well, I'm doing this for his future. Or I'm doing this for her future. Well, understand, it's their future, not yours. And it's some people will say, well, it's a delicate balance. And it's not really all that delicate. It's pretty damn clear in my book. So I hope his parents do not push him so hard that he ends up hating swimming. Because it looks like he has a promising career in it. What kind of career can he have? Well, it can lead to all kinds of other things, just like Michael Phelps, you know, Olympic level swimmer is, you know, age time is very limited, but it opens up all kinds of other doors for them, just as it did for Phelps. So he's well set for the rest of his life. But so this kid could be too. So good on ya, Clark Kent Apuada. Hope you go far. But going from a young kid to an old kid that's going to make all of us feel old, Backstreet Boys' Nick Carter, who's now 38. I saw that and I'm thinking, what? What the what? Yeah, it makes sense, considering when were the Backstreet Boys, you know, big stars? They were, you know, back in the 90s. So these people age just like the rest of us. But Nick Carter is now under investigation and review by Los Angeles prosecutors because of a rape claim that is being claimed by an actress from back in 2002. Yes, Santa Monica Police Department submitted this case for possible charges back on July 21st, said the DA spokesman Greg Reisling. Nick Carter, Backstreet Boy. And let's face it, everybody. Well, I don't know what you think of boy bands. I don't particularly like them. And I don't care what you think of how he looked back then, but all the girls thought he was gorgeous. And this is the same thing of personally, I didn't really think of what's the English boy, yeah, I always call them No Direction or Wrong Direction. One Direction. See, I give them nicknames that are such that I forget their real names sometimes. So One Direction. I didn't think most of those guys were all that good looking, but a lot of girls did. So that's what counted. But same with the Backstreet Boys. I mean, I guess Nick. Well, he was the blonde one, so he was the much like Justin Timberlake. I always thought Justin Timberlake was actually kind of funny looking, but hey, he didn't have to appeal to me. Or most males, so that was fine. But evidently he is being investigated from a sex assault that took place in the area back in 2002. I don't know how you would... I'm not a prosecutor, I'm not an investigator... But I don't know how you can go back so far to try to prove a crime like this. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened in between that would happen between these two that you know. I know that the investigators have to vet that kind of stuff out. Maybe there was some animosity between the two after the night in question. There's a lot of time in between, you know, 2018 and 2002. Where there could be a lot of animosity built up, and they're going to have to, you know, vet that kind of story out. But again, part of the Me Too thing, now you have to put Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. And now, sorry, but if you're a groupie and you are with any of these band members or even solo artists, especially the male ones. And if everybody thinks that they're gorgeous and cute, even if they're not, anybody think that Steven Tyler was cute? Evidently, that man bedded more women than you could shake a stick at. It's just ridiculous. I never, really? But in any case, so you get these groupies, and you know what they're looking for. They pick out a good-looking girls or a group of good-looking girls, and they invite you back to the hotel room or whatever, or, you know, back to the party. What do you think that they're inviting you for? I know the girls are young and giddy, and they don't get it, but... And most of the, not all the time, but most of the time, because they're groupies, they love the opportunity. And they later brag about it. Now, I don't know if this girl ever bragged about the encounter with Nick Carter back in 2002. But now she's saying in 2018 that he raped her in 2002. Take it for what it's worth, folks. Again, there's some more Me Too stuff coming out of Hollywood. And it's terrible, actually. I'm not saying that she's lying. She's probably telling the truth. Honestly. My belief is she's probably telling the truth. And that's a sad commentary. But that's how the industry, you know, our entertainment industry works. These people used to be able to get away with doing just about anything. And even sometimes when they were, was it Demi Lovato that was just recently overdosed on drugs? And everybody is feeling so sorry for her. Why? She did it to herself. Was it Demi Lovato? I don't want to get the wrong name. But why do you feel sorry for them? They do this kind of stuff to themselves. Even though you may be a female groupie, you should not have to be prepared or expect to be raped by your star idol. You should be able just to go and spend time with them when they ask you to and just enjoy that experience. It doesn't have to be sexual. You shouldn't have to expect it. And you shouldn't have to automatically agree to it. Just because they invite you and you say yes does not mean you agree to anything else than to just hang out. And I think and I know that there are a lot of there are women now that they don't accuse their favorite star of rape, but they were quote unquote talked into sex. We know that that's happened. And that should not be what is expected when you get invited to go backstage or back to party or hang out at their hotel room. But these people have been doing it for so long and getting away with it for so long with no repercussions whatsoever that everybody just shrugs it off. And now we're at a point where people are now saying, well, we're just not going to shrug this off anymore, but we also have to be careful of false allegations. You know, Scott Baio is going through this right now. And now he's getting... I hate when I don't have the names in front of me because I always there's so many names that are floating around. But he's actually getting a restraining order because she's gone crazy on him. I don't know, because people aren't believing her. You know, she co-starred with him in Charles in Charge, and she admitted that they had a consensual relationship. And then now she's saying, oh yeah, but one time her story was before we were in a a committed relationship with each other, he raped me. And then she changed her story and said, no, after we broke up, he couldn't stand it, so he raped me. I don't believe her. I don't know what her game is, but I don't believe her. In that particular case, I do not believe her. Her story has seemed to have changed. But I don't know if they actually did a full investigation, but it doesn't look like Baio is going to be brought up any charges. But it also came about when people were trying to press Baio into, because he's a Republican and a conservative out there in L.A., and these charges came about conveniently when people were really trying to draft him into running for public office out there. I found it a little bit too convenient. I don't know if Nick Carter is planning on running for any public office, so I don't know why these claims on him are coming out right now. She's not saying, giving a reason behind it, but... the accuser. In any case, Amazon, according to the Mirror out of the UK, again, wonderful Bezos company, they are now complaining out there in the UK that Amazon now pays even less taxes, while struggling high street firms pay up to 20 times more than Amazon. I don't know how they're getting away with it, but evidently it's all legal on the up and up. But the online retailer paid just £4.6 million last year, or just over 6% of its profit of £72 million in the UK, despite sales soaring by a quarter to £8.8 billion in 2017. Well, evidently, you know, there in other high-tax nations like the UK, some companies are finding ways of trimming their tax bill. Now, I don't know who decided to say that, okay, you had $72 million, now you got to give up more than $4.6 million of it. Why do people think that the money that somebody else earns, whether it be a company or individual, actually belongs to them or the state? Amazon would not have made a dime if people did not willingly hand over their hard-earned cash for a product or service that Amazon offered. They could offer, I don't know, the most popular products on the planet, but yet they still have to depend on people actually wanting to buy from them. Now, this is similar to the back in the day when Walmart was growing by leaps and bounds, and everybody was saying that Walmart wasn't paying their fair share in taxes. Nobody forced people to shop at Walmart. Nobody. Well, they had everything that the people need, and they were causing other mom-and-pop shops to close down. That's because mom-and-pop shops didn't know how to compete. But now they do. When a Walmart store opens up, you should see the business development that surrounds Walmart after they build a store. And it's a lot of it. Sure, there's a lot of, you know, national giants that move in next to Walmart. But there's also a lot of mom and pop shops that pop up and do quite well because of Walmart. Because they found a way that actually works to compete. Sometimes, you know, when you don't have any competition and you get some real competition, you don't know how to deal with it. Or in some cases, you don't want to deal with it. But to say that these people aren't paying their fair share in taxes simply because they earned money willingly, I mean, from willing participants, they're not being forced to buy from Walmart. People are not being in the UK are not being forced to buy from Amazon. So they willingly hand over their money to them, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, you got all these people that gave you money, now you need to give some of it back to the government. Why? Says who? For what purpose? And we're talking the UK here. They waste as much money and tax money as the United States does. I mean, it's ridiculous. From what I've seen and read and heard in England, it is just as bad here there as it is here. Well, you know, we are Britain's child. Maybe that's where we got the wherewithal to do that sort of thing. I don't know, waste tax money. I don't know. We're following mommy.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eggles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
And now a message from our sponsor. Ladies, tired of drying your hair with the same old vacuum cleaner? Try Avanshave brand new Beauty Locks portable hair dryer. It's smaller, it's faster, it's guaranteed to give you the hair you've always wanted in half the time. Beauty Locks is delicate and dainty, just like you. The dryer weighs only a pound and easily fits in your hand. Now that's beauty and convenience. With a speedy motor that will dry your hair in as little as 25 minutes, you can get gorgeous hair without falling behind schedule. Don't worry about the little ones or that pie in the oven. Thanks to an extra-long extension cord, you can move around while primping your locks. Forget those long trips to the salon and no more waiting for hours under monster machines. Avanshave gives you an easy and speedy hairdo that will blow your man away. Get it now at your nearest Macy's.
Talk Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Today, there's a beer for everyone.
Hey, me and the guys are going out for a beer. You want to come along?
Nah, I got a lot of data to enter into the computer tonight.
Now, there's a brew for the future.
Want me to bring you something back?
Thanks, but I got some right here.
Microsoft Brew.
You got a beer tap on your computer?
With a head so thick, you can float a mouse on it.
Let me get this straight. You make your own beer with the computer?
With the right software, you can do anything.
Microsoft Brew.
Here, I call this one Windows 95.
I don't know, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And if you got to get there quicker, try the new ISDN malt liquor.
Hello, America. It's me, your history. I remember a time when we thumbed our nose in a king's face and sent him packing. And when fascists and emperors talked a little bit too loud, we showed up, tore their cities to the ground, and then rebuilt them just to prove we could. We put men on the moon, we won a Cold War, and we elected fearless leaders who led fearless people. What the hell happened to you, America? Back in my day, we didn't elect a big-eared community organizer. We punched him in the kidney. Maybe it's time you came home, America. Home where you belong.
Portion of the program where I bring to you today's holidays. Yes, we cover at this point in time in the program every day the holidays that are listed for today, the special days, the not so special days, the weird days, and the not so weird days, as well as the normal holiday days. But the holidays for today, August number 3, are thus: it is Easter Day. And this is a year that it lands on Esther Grace Earle's birthday. Now, who is Esther Grace? I had no idea who she was before this holiday popped up in my holidays. It's celebrated each year on this day. It's Esther Grace Earle's birthday. She passed away in August of 2010, shortly after her 16th birthday, following a lengthy battle with thyroid cancer. Among other things, she was a nerd fighter, a member of an online subculture consisting of fans of Vlogbrothers, which was created by brothers John and Hank Green. You celebrate today by telling those close to you, your family and friends, that you love them. Then show your love with your actions. This is how Esther wanted the day to be celebrated. And so this is how you do it. It's actually kind of a moving holiday. I did not know who she was before this holiday. I've heard of this these nerd fighters before. I'm still not sure exactly what they are or who they are or what they do. But I'm not really interested in finding out either. So, but there you go. She was a nerd fighter. It is also Airplane Crop Duster Day. Yes. We have a day for airplanes. Yeah, they still use crop dusters. There are still people out there that fly these things. So it is a day to celebrate and honor the crop duster. It is also Grab Some Nuts Day. Nuts meaning the edible ones. You got to be careful because we might have some feminazis tuning in and they may take it the wrong way. But like the peanut and walnut and things. So eat some nuts today. That's how you celebrate Grab Some Nuts Day. It's also Braham or Braham Pie Day. It's also known as Pie Day. Braham, B-R-A-H-A-M. I've never heard of it. I don't know what that is. But it's a day. It's pie. So if you don't eat that or know what it is, just eat any kind of pie. It's Pie Day. It's also International Beer Day. Now, yesterday was National IPA Beer Day. Today is International Beer Day, and it's always observed the first Friday in August. We have an awful lot of days dedicated to various adult beverages. No wonder we're so drunk all the time. We're all out there celebrating all kinds of holidays related to drinking alcoholic beverages. I mean, even if it's just a day like St. Patrick's Day, which is all about green beer pretty much, and Cinco de Mayo, which is all about, drinking something with tequila in it, to the various other holidays, Red Wine Day and Merlot Wine Day and this wine day and this kind of beer day and this kind of drink day and this kind of, Scotch Day and Scotch Day and English Scotch Day and American Scotch Day and, Jim Beam, Jim Morrison, Jim Whoever Day. We have a ton of them throughout the year. So if you ever need a day just to give you an excuse to drink, pay attention to this program because you're more than likely at least once a week to find a day that'll include an alcoholic beverage. But today is International Beer Day. So you celebrate by not drinking your favorite microbrew or mega mass-produced brew from the United States. Today is a day where you explore and drink nothing but imported international beers. That includes beers from Canada and Mexico, Australia, Holland, Germany, France. Yes, French have beer, by the way. So there you go. Just drink to your heart's content. Have some. It's a perfect thing to go with nuts, especially peanuts. Isn't that why bars always serve peanuts? It makes you thirsty for more beer. And finally today is also national, not international, just National Watermelon Day. And I always have to make that clear because there also tends to be a national holiday. And then later in the year, at some point, there's an international version. Now, I don't know if there's an International Watermelon Day, but it's only National Watermelon Day here. Watermelon is actually not just here in the U.S., in the USA or the Western Hemisphere. Asians actually eat quite a bit. Now, I don't know if they actually grow it or if it's imported, but, you know, watermelon is actually pretty prevalent in places like Japan. I found that interesting. I did not know that before. But it is not International Watermelon Day, so if you are in Japan, then you can't really celebrate Watermelon Day today. You have to be here in America because it's only National Watermelon Day. So those are your holidays for today. August number 3. Now, please, especially when it comes to international beer, go out and celebrate responsibly. U.S. government. Sad yet dangerous story. INL, Department of Energy, specialist left plutonium in their car, and in the morning it was gone. Now, this is a story that actually broke back on July 16th. I had this story earlier this week and just didn't have the time because of so many other things to bring the story to you. So the story is 2 weeks old, but you haven't heard much about it. Again, it broke 2 weeks ago. I didn't see it until earlier this week. Two security experts from the Department of Energy's Idaho National Laboratory drove to San Antonio, Texas in March of 2017 with a sensitive mission to retrieve dangerous nuclear material from a nonprofit research lab there. Their task was to ensure that the radioactive materials did not fall into the wrong hands on the way back to Idaho, where the government maintains a stockpile of nuclear explosive materials for the military and others. To ensure they got the right items, the specialists from Idaho brought radiation detectors and small samples of dangerous materials to calibrate them, specifically a plastic-covered disc of plutonium, a material that can be used to fuel nuclear weapons, and another container of cesium, a highly radioactive isotope that could potentially be used in so-called dirty radioactive bombs. Now, when they stopped at a Marriott hotel in a high-crime neighborhood filled with temp agencies and ranch homes, I don't know why they felt it was necessary to put that detail in the story. It's filled with temp agencies and ranch homes. As if all high-crime areas have temporary employment agencies and ranch homes. In any case, they left those sensors on the backseat of their rented Ford Expedition. When they woke up the next morning, the window had been smashed and the special valises holding the sensors and the nuclear material had vanished. Now, I thought these were smart people. You know, we're told that just because you get an education, you're smart. Now, obviously, if you're doing this kind of work, you've got a college education. You have a degree of some sort. You're supposed to be smart. Well, as I've often said, just because you're smart doesn't mean you have common sense. Common sense would dictate you don't leave that stuff in the back seat of your vehicle. Anywhere, let alone a high crime neighborhood. Even if you're, especially at a, you know, some of the places where cars get broken in the most? Hotel parking lots. Why? Because thieves know that people are traveling and they usually travel with what? Stuff. Sometimes valuable stuff. And people don't always take that valuable stuff into their hotel room because they don't want to be bothered with dragging that stuff in and out. It's bad enough they got to drag in their suitcase. So they leave stuff in their cars. Now, frankly, when you're traveling and you have an out-of-state plate and you're in a hotel, you don't even leave valuables in your glove box because your car is a target. And here, these idiots, these well-learned, well-educated idiots left nuclear material and sensitive nuclear testing devices on the back seat of their car. And we're just now, this happened in March of 2017. The story didn't break until July 16 of 2018. And we're just really finding out about it last week or earlier this week. What's that tell you? Now, the story does not say that they ended up finding the crooks or the materials. It's gone. Can you say OMG? Yeah, but this is the kind of stuff that, that some people in our government say that the rest of us don't need to know about. Really? We don't. Unbelievable. Something happened over a year ago, and it's not being talked about.
Well, Rod, you got to be careful because this is under Trump's watch.
Well, look, I wouldn't be blaming Obama for this either. You know, these are people that are supposed to know their jobs. You cannot micromanage every single government employee. That's just an impossibility. There has got to be some common sense being used here, and it was not. I don't care how smart you are, got to have some common sense. You don't leave crap that could be that's expensive and valuable and or dangerous on the back seat or the front seat or any seat of your vehicle. When you're in a hotel parking lot, hell, you don't leave anything valuable in your car when you're in a hotel parking lot, but let alone leave it out there in the open where people can see it. High crime neighborhood, you know they got to be cruising the lots, the hotel lots of within the neighborhood, looking for easy marks and valuable stuff. And somebody, you know, happened upon the Expedition, you know, big expensive car. What they got? Ooh, that looks pretty good. I don't know what it is, but it looks expensive, so let's take it. I guess with the hospitals, probably they should be canvassing the hospitals or should have canvassed the hospitals for anybody with radiation poisoning. That would probably be your criminal. But we go from Texas, where you had government employees from Idaho doing something stupid, to the happiest place in America. According to a study at studyfinds.org, Minnesota is America's happiest state. Oh, golly gee, now, yeah, that makes sense for sure. Minnesota is America's happiest state, while Louisiana is the least happy, according to this study. Denmark is the world's happiest country, and Minnesota is America's happiest state. Yeah, I don't know how they rate this stuff. I mean, they tell you, but none of it makes any sense to me. About how they rate people's happiness. It seems to me that would be kind of subjective. But evidently Denmark this is not the first time we've heard this. Denmark is the world's full of the world's happiest people. Okay. So why is Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, the happiest state? Well, it doesn't have the allure of New York City or the glitz of Los Angeles, but it beats out the rest of the nation when it comes to overall life satisfaction. Well, it could be outside of Minneapolis. Minnesota has a relatively low crime rate. That has a lot to do with it. I don't know how they could be so happy when they have when they once had an angry representative by the name of, you know who. He shall not be named. He's thinking about running again. Unbelievable. Using the scale, happiness levels in all 50 states and 20 wellness factors as proxies, these factors derived from a recent Oxford University study were based on health, lifestyle, and prosperity markers, allowing the researchers to assign each state a wellness score out of 100. So they didn't go around asking people. They just used some sort of matrix. Actually, I guess the reality is it may not be all that happy. Minnesota scored the highest with 73 points, with South Dakota, Colorado, Utah, and North Dakota rounding out the top five. The least happy states were Louisiana, Rhode Island, West Virginia, Alabama, and Mississippi, all scoring below 34 points out of 100. Louisiana? Well, isn't Louisiana the poorest state in the union? Or is that Arkansas? I wouldn't think it would be Arkansas with Walmart being headquartered there, but I just... It's, you know, Mississippi is also pretty poor, and so is Alabama. Rhode Island, that's a very wealthy state. People are unhappy in Rhode Island. The researchers noted that 6 of the 10 happiest states were in the Midwest, while 7 of the 10 least happiest states were in the South. So all you Southern people are miserable. just saying. Look, the study doesn't lie. They use these markers and scored them. So if you're in the South, you're probably unhappy. I think Southern people are very happy. They sound happy. Well, Midwest is not an unhappy place to be, I suppose. Nothing happens out there, which is probably why they're so damn happy, because nobody ever really targets them for anything. But the South is very hospitable. They seem to be very happy people. But evidently, they're miserable, according to this study. Just saying. Speaking of being miserable, New York State Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo attacks the media for asking him tough questions. Yes, evidently, earlier this week, Cuomo was answering questions, and he got irate because New York One reporter Zach Fink had the temerity to ask the governor a question about the latest in a series of campaign finance scandals embroiling Cuomo and whether or not he planned to return some large and very dodgy donations. While he didn't invoke the so-called dreaded fake news claim that Trump tosses out, Cuomo did go after Fink's employer, accusing them of fraud, and then went on to seemingly try to implicate the reporter himself in the company's troubles, saying it's people like you that have companies like that are in trouble. So Fink was asking a legitimate question. Now, look, we've got all this wonderful investigation going around that's surrounding Trump's campaign, and you get a reporter that asks Cuomo about his campaign and his campaign finances, and all of a sudden that's off limits? And he gets irate with the reporter? Means the reporter was doing his job accurately for, you know, a random act of drive-by journalism right there. Or I should say real journalism, not drive-by journalism. Random act of journalism, and the guy gets berated by the governor of New York State. You can't make this stuff up, folks. And Cuomo is one of the biggest people screaming about Trump needing to be possibly impeached. Oh, yeah, Cuomo doesn't like Trump at all. Trust me, there's no love lost between the two. And this is before even Trump ran for president. This is, you know, the business dealings in New York City and the tri-state area often saw news reports. Often the governor and Trump came to loggerheads over issues, especially when it came to taxes and zoning that the state would push on the city and things like that. So there's no love lost between the two. But hey, I don't know why Andrew Cuomo thinks that these kind of questions are going to be off the table. If this guy actually is considering a run for the Democratic nomination for president, he's probably thinking he's going to skate by like Barack. Nobody's going to ask him tough questions like this. Nobody's going to ask him tough questions are only supposed to be asked of Republicans. And even stupid questions are only to be asked of Republicans. Benign questions, easy to answer questions, those are the questions that you ask Democrats. When it comes to vetting out their hypocrisy, when it comes to, because, you know, Democrats always talk about how Republicans get sketchy donations. But when a Democrat does it or is caught with it, and, hey, are you going to return that money because it's kind of dodgy, sketchy, possibly illegal type of stuff? What do you think you're doing? You can't ask me that question. That's how Cuomo responds to a reporter. Now, New York One News, is that? I don't know if that's a left-leaning or right-leaning news organization. Or I think it's a network. But it doesn't matter. The question was a valid one, based on what we know has been going on in the Cuomo campaign over the years. He's got some skeletons in his closet. Let's just put it that way. Finally today, Tim Allen. Yes, Tim Allen finally breaks his silence, as they put it, on Roseanne Barr. He was asked whether the network was right to fire Roseanne over her racist tweet back in May. Allen replied, "I go way back with Rosie, and that's not the Rosie I know. She was the most diverse and tolerant woman I've ever known for a long time. Whatever got in her head isn't the Roseanne Barr I know. It's a very icy time. I've been a comedian for 38 years, and I've never seen it. Like Lenny Bruce said at the Purple Onion, we've gone backwards. There are things you can't say. There are things you shouldn't say. Who makes up these rules?" Allen asked. "And as a stand-up comic, it's a dangerous position to be in because I like pushing buttons. It's unfortunate for Rosie." Now, he's not the only one that commented on this. Martin Mull, who had a recurring role on the original run of Roseanne, also comments saying, "They did what they had to do when it comes to firing Roseanne." He says, "My own dealings with Rosie never indicated to me anyone who would write that tweet. I certainly don't approve of that tweet. I never saw that in her. It was not her. But I did see things in her that were inexplicable back when we worked together." So there are two rather famous comedians who've worked with and know Roseanne Barr are saying that that tweet really didn't sound like the Roseanne that they knew. But be that as it may, the question that they dodged was, do you think that the network was right? And I say, no, they weren't, but they're dodging the question by saying, well, the network did what they had to do. That's a politically safe and politically correct answer, by the way. Well, it is. It's a politically correct answer. And it is what it is, folks. In any case, it is what it is that we are out of time for today, but don't worry, we'll be back here first thing Monday morning. So I hope all of you have a wonderful Friday afternoon and an even more fantastical Freedom Weekend. Until then, have a wonderful time. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rod Eccles. I'm out.
It feels good to be a Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is, what they done, or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled, and you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.